The mind of Christ was to always do what the Father told him to do, even if it is a very small, trivial little thing. And I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, don't neglect those trivial promptings that the Father gives to you. Yeah, there are sometimes trivial promptings that the Father has given to me and I've obeyed it and I've been protected. I really have been protected. I could tell you instances about that. You're missing something when you disobey those trivial promptings. Don't let your reason come in. Reason would have told Jesus, don't stand in a line where everybody's a sinner. They'll misunderstand you. You know, when it comes to God's word, there's a word of advice I would give to you, and that is from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. What is the greatest enemy of faith? Faith is a very important thing in the Christian life. What is the greatest enemy of faith? It's not unbelief. It's your reason. Proverbs 3 speaks about faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your reason. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't listen to your understanding. When God tells you something, don't listen to your understanding. You'll go astray. The greatest enemy of faith is reason. And that's why many people don't climb. You can't climb to great heights in the Christian life with understanding. You climb to great heights by faith. Jesus always emphasized faith. He always said to his disciples, "Oh, you of little faith." They were people of little understanding. They were not clever. They never went past middle school, those fishermen. Peter was probably way down at the bottom of his class in terms of marks and all that. Jesus never said to him, "Oh, you of little understanding." Never. He was not bothered about that. He always said, "Oh, you of little faith. How long shall I be with you?" Jesus is not impressed by our reason and our understanding. He's always impressed by faith. You know, there was once a Roman military man. I don't know how many people he must have killed as a military man. I'm sure he killed many people as a Roman soldier. But he came once to Jesus and said, "My servant is sick. Can you please come in? And Jesus said, "I'll come to your house." And he said, "No, Lord. I'm too small a man for you to come to my house." Look at his humility. You can't come to my house. Humility is another thing which is always connected with faith. Just stand here, Lord, and speak. And my servant there 10 miles away, he'll be all right. And Jesus looked at all the Israelites who were great Bible scholars. And he said, "I have not seen such faith in all of Israel." See how he appreciated faith. Always you find that. He appreciated faith. A Syrophoenician Canaanite woman who had a demon-possessed daughter in her house 3-4 miles away came to Jesus, said, "Please cast the demon out of my daughter." And Jesus said, "No, I haven't come for the Gentiles. I can't give children's bread to the dogs. You're at the foot of the table." And you know what she said? She didn't get offended and say, "I'm not a dog. How dare you call me that? Are you the Son of God and calling me a dog?" "No. Yeah, I'm a Gentile. I'm not part of the chosen nation of Israel. But can't the dog get the crumbs that fall from the table? You see humility? And just give me a crumb. One crumb, Lord, is enough to cast the demon out of my daughter." And she said, "Woman, great is your faith. Your daughter is healed." The two people whose faith Jesus appreciated were both people who knew nothing of the Bible. Their reason level was very low. Their understanding was very low. But their faith was great. Can you imagine appreciating a military man? Would you appreciate a military man who's killed people in the past? You see, he may get puffed up. He's not even a believer. Jesus was not afraid of those things. We are so cautious. I've seen one thing, that many Christians are very miserly when it comes to appreciating people. I've seen that. Many are miserly with their money, but they're also miserly with expressing appreciation. Jesus was never miserly. Not even with unbelievers. He would say to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." That's revelation from heaven. Do you want the mind of Christ? Learn to appreciate people. Learn to appreciate. Don't just criticize. Your children. Ask yourself, all of you who got little children, ask yourself how much you have corrected them and ask yourself how much you have appreciated them. When was the time last time you told one of your children, "That was great the way you helped that person. That was great the way you did that." That was so much like the spirit of Jesus. I'm so proud of you, my son, my girl. Do you ever say that? Or you say, why did you do that? How many times have I told you not to do that? Yeah, we need to correct them. But appreciation can do wonders. And Jesus did it to unbelievers. Think of Nathanael. It says in John chapter 1, when Philip, he met Jesus and found the Messiah, and he told Nathanael. That's a beautiful passage. I like that. You must see it to believe it. John chapter 1. I don't have time to turn to these references. That's why I don't always turn to it. But if you listen to this video sometime, please look up the references. John chapter 1. Philip was one of the people who found Jesus, it says in verse 44. Philip, verse 45, John 1, 45, found Nathanael and said to him, we have found the Messiah, the one whom Moses and the prophets and all spoke about, and that is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph the carpenter. And Nathanael said to him, oh, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know how certain areas, even in the United States, have a reputation for crime. Certain ghettos. You hear that somebody came out of that ghetto and you say, ah, he came from there, is it? How can anybody come from there? I mean, you all may be knowing of certain places in this country. And Nathanael said, Nazareth? That's got such a bad reputation. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And those are the last words he spoke. And the next thing he sees Jesus. And Jesus heard that. How do you know he heard that? Because later on he says, Nathanael, I even saw you under the fig tree a few hours ago praying. Jesus knew a lot more about Nathanael than he realized. And as soon as Nathanael comes, what's the first thing that he says about Nathanael? There's a perfect man or a man who's saved or any such thing. There is an Israelite in whom there's no hypocrisy. He believes Nazareth is useless, and he says so. There's absolutely no hypocrisy in him. He's not, saying nice words. I read those words, you know. Here is a man in whom there is zero hypocrisy. I say, Lord, if you ever said that about me, I'd frame it up and put it in my house. Here is a man in whom there is no hypocrisy. He's not perfect. He's got a lot of mistakes in his life. But he's not a hypocrite. Can you imagine what it did to Nathanael? He'd never have forgotten it for the rest of his life. That when I was unconverted, Jesus said about me, there's no hypocrisy in me. Can Jesus say that about you? You don't have to be holy for that. Nathanael was not holy. He was not even converted. He hadn't even become a disciple. Can a prostitute be free from hypocrisy? Sure. What does it mean to be a hypocrite? A hypocrite means an actor. If a prostitute says, I'm just a prostitute. I earn my living by prostitution. There's no hypocrisy in that person. He is absolutely honest. You know, the word hypocrite is a Greek word. It's not an English word. Unfortunately, I feel sorry about these words that have not been translated. Baptism is not an English word at all. It's a Greek word, baptizo, which means immerse. That's the plain meaning. If they had translated it, go and immerse people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there'd never have been any child baptism in 2,000 years. But they didn't translate it. Hypocrite. The Greek word hypocrite means actor. If you had gone to Greece 2,000 years ago and said, where are all the hypocrites? They say, go to the theater. There are plenty of them there. Today, if you ask where are the hypocrites, they say, go to the churches. You'll find them all there. It's very different. But people don't understand what hypocrites are. Hypocrites are people who are pretending. That means they come to the church and say, all to Jesus I surrender. And they haven't done it. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. You think they mean it? This is hypocrisy. To sing these wonderful songs and you don't mean it in your life. There's a man without hypocrisy. Covet that. What I was trying to say is there was a spirit of appreciation that Jesus had. He wasn't afraid that Nathanael's head would get puffed up or the Roman centurion's head would get puffed up. We are so miserly when it comes to appreciating people because we think, oh, he'll get puffed up. Jesus didn't have that fear. He believed in encouraging people, and that encouragement led people to be his disciples. So I believe we need to develop that habit But coming back to this matter of being faithful in little things, Jesus was faithful when he went to that baptism to stand in line, didn't go according to his reason.